Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. Hi there, property lovers. In this Property Lovers podcast episode, we're going to talk about whether or not it's the right time to buy property and making the transition from a renter to a buyer. In my view, it is a good time for first home buyers and those renting to make a transition into property ownership. The reason for that is that it's going to be harder and harder to get a loan. Now, bear with me and let's backtrack a bit and think that through. First of all, why is it going to be harder to get a loan? Well, first up, we've seen massive interest rate rises over the last 9 months, and they're now saying there's more to come. So it was the case more recently that there was a talk track out there that interest rates had pretty much peaked. There may be one or two, but it would be minor. And it was, talk on the street was that interest rates were going to fall as of the later half of 2023. That talk track has changed a little in the last week because US inflation figures came out and they were much higher than expected, like 1.8% rise in inflation and the cost of living in the last month, which is a lot at a time when the talk track was that rates had peaked, the interest rate rises had done their job, prices were stabilizing, and the next move would be downwards and they got inflation under control. It seems that that's not actually the case and people are still spending, which means that one of the only weapons that they have when they're trying to curb inflation is to increase interest rates. So Australia has said, well, whatever happens overseas and globally is going to impact what happens here. And our Reserve Bank governor said last month that we would watch global developments and that would impact what was happening with our domestic interest rates. So it seems pretty clear now, and the economists and analysts are saying we will have more rate rises. We knew that, but now they're saying that there'll be at least four more rate rises this year, and that will take the Reserve Bank rate to 4.4%. So another whole 1% rate rise, which is a lot and more than what they were factoring in. Now, we haven't got our inflation numbers yet, but we tend to follow what happens in the States. So yeah, it looks like we could be in for a bit of a bumpy ride. So if interest rates keep on rising, what does that mean for the property market? The obvious answer is, well, it's not time to buy. Rates are really high. People can't afford homes and prices will drop. In a vacuum, that's true. And if it were as easy as just waiting for prices to drop, I'm sure everyone would be doing that. But there's an opportunity cost. So it's always a balancing act, isn't it? Because while I'm waiting for prices to drop and get into the property market, rents are on the rise. The rental market is so tight. It's really, really hard to find a place to rent. And as soon as landlords can, when lease periods are up, they're raising rents. So it's a painful time for those renting. And there comes a tipping point where it may be cheaper to have a mortgage than to be paying rent. And if prices are coming down, then it may be that property owners want to sell to avoid losing too much equity in property. There is also also the talk that you may have heard of a mortgage cliff and mortgage prisons. So what that means, and economies and markets are never clear cut, are they? So it's not a case of saying this is what the market's doing and it's black and white and you can make decisions based off that. There's always shades of grey. What we do know is we've got rising rates, more rate rises to come, and really, really high rents, and rental vacancies are at all-time lows. So it's hurting people from all angles to sustain the roof over their head, our basic need of shelter. At the same time, banks assess people to go and get loans on their serviceability. So that's how much you earn, and a proportion of what you take home in wages or earnings, how much can you afford to spend on mortgage repayments? So when banks assess you for a loan, they'll look at that sort of thing. Now, APRA, the Australian Prudential Regulation Authority, controls how banks lend. So they look at the viability of banks, and they look at a balancing act in the economy and in markets. And what they've said is that to be safe, lenders should assess borrowers at 3% at least above the official Reserve Bank rate. Now, that got a lot of people in a lot of trouble at the peak of this property market because people were being assessed at 3.1%. So the official rate for a while back in 2020, 2021 was 0.1% interest rates. So assessing people at 3% over that meant that people were, their serviceability was tested or stress tested at 3.1%. Now, obviously the Reserve Bank official rate is already above that stress tested level. It's at 3.35%. So it's gone 0.25% over the rate that people were stress tested at. So a lot of people are paying now something with a 5 in front of it. If they go and apply for a loan, they'll be stress tested at 8%, adding 3 percentage points to the official rate that they're going to be paying on the loan that they're taking out. In other words, if I go to the bank and say I'd like to sign up for a loan and the variable rate is 5.5% that I'll be paying, the bank won't just say, oh yeah, you can afford 5.5%. They'll say, well, rates could go even higher. So we're going to assess you at 8.5%. If I can pass serviceability at 8.5%, they'll lend me the money. What happens though is that when they test you at 8.5%, they say, well, you can't afford to borrow $1 million, but you can afford to borrow $700,000 at 8.5%, or whatever the case may be. And in fact, that's an accurate reflection because changes in serviceability requirements from APRA have meant that people's borrowing capacity has dropped by 30%. So if this time last year I could have borrowed $1 million, now I can only borrow $700,000, which means that I have less to pay for purchasing a property, which means property prices will tend to come backwards, which is good news if you're looking to buy. However, there's even better news in store because APRA have said we're not going to lower the serviceability buffer. So there were calls that they should lower it to 2% because it was never going to get to 8%. So assess people at 7-odd%. And APRA said no, like it is foreseeable and it is reasonable that it could go that high, which sent markets into a bit of a panic. But what it does mean is that lots of people won't be able to get finance. And there's talk of mortgage prisons. So people are stuck with their loans because they can't qualify to refinance. If I've got a loan of $700,000 $100,000 and I want to refinance it, but at the serviceability rates and checks at the moment, they'll only lend me $600,000. I can't refinance and I'm stuck in the loan that I was in and I just have to ride it out. So it means that there will be more people wanting to sell and looking to sell in different ways. Now, one thing that has proven true throughout history is that when credit is tight, for whatever reason, when people can't access money to borrow and buy property, then vendor finance or seller finance comes to the forefront. Seller finance is an owner being able to help a purchaser buy a property. So it was really big in the 50s and 60s, and even before then when land was released, like in the gold rush days when Australia had a lot of land, but banks, there were lots of panics and runs on the banks, and banking wasn't what it was today. And this was before like the Commonwealth Bank, as the Commonwealth Bank was actually the official reserve bank in Australia and later became a listed company. However, I digress. What it means is that in times like that, when banks aren't lending or banks are afraid to lend or banks just can't lend because of serviceability requirements, the market figures out another way. And vendor finance is one of those ways. So vendor finance is seller finance. Now, I did this with a few of our properties when I got into trouble back in 2009. How it works is if I want to sell my property, but I can't attract buyers because they can't get finance, then I can help them to buy my property whilst also helping myself. So there are a few ways to do it. And it's great if tenants have saved up some money as a deposit, but they haven't got a proper, like a 20% deposit to get mainstream finance. Rather than just burning it all on rent for another 3 years while they save up, they could persuade a seller to sell it to them on vendor terms or rent to own terms. So what that says is instead of just taking rent and it being dead money, give me an option to buy the property anytime within the next 3 years and count what I'm paying in rent towards reducing a mortgage. Plus, if I'm going to be a homeowner, I'll get used to paying the outgoings on the property and I can give you some deposit. I just can't give you 20% bank deposit. So what that means is that I get an option to ultimately buy the property. It's good for the seller because they're getting more money now and they're locking in a price for the property and I'm working towards home ownership. Now, another way that you can do vendor finance or seller finance is via an installment contract, or another way is what they call deposit funding. So an installment contract, and it's different state by state, but that is a contract to purchase a property. And instead of the bank giving you a 30-year loan, the seller gives you a 30-year loan. So you're paying the seller principal and interest, but you're going on the title to the property as owner of the property. And when you build up some equity or when lending standards ease a little bit, you are able to refinance and get mainstream bank finance. So it gets you from renting to home ownership faster. Now, deposit finance is a good one if you can't quite come up with the seller's purchase price as a renter, or for a seller, it means that they can stick to their asking price, even if people can't get finance. So we've seen cases like this in our property lovers community. For example, a seller going to sell a property, agreeing on a contract price, but when the bank valuer came out, they wouldn't value the property that high. In fact, the property was $30,000 short of the contract price. So what the seller said is, that's okay, borrow the money from the bank and I'll give you a second, I'll take a second second mortgage on the property for the $30,000, and you can pay that off slowly over time. That way the seller got the contract price that they wanted, and they're taking that balance in installments, and it really helped the buyer because they got a lower purchase price, and they qualified for serviceability of the loan a whole lot easier, and they got into the property that they wanted. So long story short, when things change, when it's harder to get a loan like it is right now, it is a great opportunity for tenants to move into home ownership because sellers are a lot more flexible. They don't have buyers beating down their door, and it's not a matter of just demanding the highest price at an auction. They become far more motivated to do a deal, and vendor finance can be a great answer in a market like this for both buyers and sellers to get exactly what they want. We are passionate here at the DG Institute about helping people launch and progress along their property journey. And we have some free resources to really help you do that. First of all, we have our Real Estate Rescue Introductory Program, which is all about getting you up and running when it comes to buying under market distressed properties from really motivated sellers. You can get access to that program for free right now by going to www.dginstitute.com.au/freecourse1. That's www.dginstitute.com.au/freecourse and then the number one. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.